Welcome into the Husker 24/7 podcast. I am Mike Schaefer, Brian Christofferson, Michael Brunt's with me today, and quite an eventful Thursday, gentlemen. BC, do you want to do the honors with a recap?
Yeah, I can. I have to put down my pistachios. I was eating pistachios, but figured it wouldn't be polite to chew in everybody's ear. They're good for you, though. And we thought something could be brewing because yesterday Nebraska didn't say a darn word after the cancellation with Wisconsin. And so what does that mean? Well, maybe they're, fixing to put a game together for Saturday, and that seemed to be the case. And they actually had someone lined up. It was Tennessee Chattanooga, we would come to find out. That news came out of Chattanooga, Tennessee, from the reporters down there. What's the name of the outlet? Give it to me. I forget that reported that. But the paper down in Chattanooga gets credit for that. They said that, you know, there could be a game, but it needs Big Ten approval, and that's where everybody said, hold the phone. Okay, this could get interesting. And sure enough, it went to a final vote. We were told by Dennis Dodd of CBS, and that vote was no game for you. And so Nebraska is not playing this Saturday against Chattanooga, even though against their best efforts. So kind of too bad. It would have been fun. And I think, you know, it shows, hey, Nebraska, they are definitely serious about, we want to play football. Any way we can play football, we're going to play football. We want to develop this team. And to be honest, Nebraska would have been taking a little bit of a risk in scheduling that game itself because it's a no-win situation. You're supposed to win the game, and if you for somehow fall on your face and face plant, it looks really ugly for you. So, Nebraska wanted to get some guys some more reps and game action, and they won't be able to do that.
Chattanooga Times Free Press. Is
that's the team. Right. Thanks.
Brunts, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, what, 6 minutes where it was out there that this game might be played? It was exhilarating. It was thrilling. I felt alive. And then it was taken away from me again and us. But, I mean, I'm not particularly surprised that the Big Ten put the kibosh on it. I think they – you know, whatever their judgment is, they wanted to continue to keep everything in house, which I think is probably smart. But according to the reports out of the Chattanooga area, they'd been testing since Wednesday. They hadn't had any positive tests. I think Nebraska was probably going to help them out with some tests and also throw them about $250,000 for the experience of coming to Lincoln. But, you know, it would have been nice, I guess, for Nebraska to get some guys some reps. I agree with BC that it's a risk because you better darn well win that game and play well if you're fighting for it. But, it's still been silent from the Nebraska side. So we will see, what comes out of that. But it sounds like Memorial Stadium will once again be empty another weekend. And it's funny, like the last 24 hours have felt very much like it's like Groundhog Day back to August where, it's just a really quick news cycle and none of it good news.
Yeah. An unfortunate start to the season for Nebraska, a game against Wisconsin. I think all of us here thought that Nebraska, regardless of who the quarterback was for Wisconsin, thought Nebraska was going to be in that game and wanted to see that matchup. Particularly because we've seen Nebraska play Wisconsin tough, even if the deficit at the end hasn't really, I think, been reflective of the type of matchups we've seen between those two teams. And then the other thing that you sort of want if you're Nebraska is you want the opportunity to play games. I mean, you lose, 12-13% of your season because Wisconsin had this outbreak and you try to replace it with a non-conference game. Just give your team an opportunity to play. I didn't think it was out of line for Nebraska. I don't know if anybody really thinks that it's out of line. It's just ultimately the Big Ten has decided they only want conference games this season. And if they stick with that precedent and we see more games get canceled, i.e. Purdue, Wisconsin, to me, seems like that is going to be up in the air. And then Wisconsin's not going to be the only team that has to deal with a potential outbreak. And so we'll see how this goes for the rest of the conference. But they made a poor decision in August, and it continues to affect a program like Nebraska, who is just simply trying to find ways to get their players on the field and build experience in a program that's very young. And so for Nebraska, another opportunity missed out on because of the Big Ten Conference as a whole. So I guess the question is, if you're Nebraska, how do you turn what has been an overwhelmingly negative situation into a positive? I saw you kind of tweet about this, BC. These practices loom pretty large heading into Northwestern next week.
Yeah, well, I think you highlight with your players. It's not like this is the season being canceled here. You're not playing this Saturday. It's basically a bye week. Those tend to happen in regular years, and so you just have to treat it as such. And you also have to look at it like, hey, you got two practices in the spring. You had no practices in December. There's a bunch of you guys, especially at the wide receiver position, who are sort of on the fringe and you want to play and you're not out there yet. Let's get going here. Let's produce. Let's develop some guys, and maybe some new guys enter the mix. If you want to look for silver linings, you would look at the wide receiver spot and say, okay, this is a little more time behind the scenes for some of those guys to grow. There's that Omar Manning sidebar that's always out there. You know, when's he going to get involved? And maybe this extra time helps that cause. I don't know. It also helps Nebraska. Maybe at middle linebacker, where Luke Reimer was probably going to play this week, but now he gets extra healing time, and I think is very important to this defense. And it allows your younger DBs like Miles Farmer, Quinton Newsom, Delancey, those guys who are going to have to definitely play in the first half of the next game, because yes, the suspension does still hold up for the targeting calls. It gives you more time to kind of formulate that plan and get those guys adjusted, even though they're always taking reps with the top couple units, so it's not like a huge change. But still, they get that extra time to have the mindset of, I'm one of the big dogs now for this next game, and maybe that can be beneficial.
What do you think, Brooks?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's interesting, I think, you know, for Nebraska, because BC's right. I mean, a couple things that you needed to get hammered out over the next, you know, week or so, or, you know, heading into this weekend, is how do you get more explosive at wide receiver? You needed guys on defense and plus Omar Manning on offense to get a little healthier. Maybe this allows you to get a Luke Reimer or a Jordan Riley or somebody like that back for Northwestern. But, you know, BC's been hammering on this since the latest edition of the schedule came out, that, you know, Northwestern was going to be a huge game because it was sandwiched between Penn State and Wisconsin. You don't have that Wisconsin game now, but, you know, with the Big Ten West kind of, I think, a little bit more up for grabs given what Wisconsin's going to have to deal with over the next 21 days, this game is huge. And plus, Northwestern played really well against a bad Maryland team, but they've got some firepower on offense now with the new coordinator. They've got that same salty defense. So Nebraska's going to have to be ready to play in that game. And I think maybe a little extra time to do that, even though it's not extra time that you necessarily want, could end up being a good thing. Maybe that's an overly positive spin. But, you know, I think, you know, Nebraska was looking at that Wisconsin game as, you know, a matchup where they could be pretty competitive, especially up front on both lines. So disappointing, but I think there's also an opportunity to really go into that Northwestern game with, you know, focused and a good game plan.
Yeah, and as BC said, you can get a little bit healthy. One of the things that I wrote about yesterday that I feel might be a little overlooked is that it's another road game for Nebraska, and that they're going to have to make roster decisions based on only the game against Ohio State and these practices, and they're not going to be able to use a home game where they could have flooded, especially if they'd have played Tennessee Chattanooga, they could have gotten more guys and seen what they have with the Xavier Betts and the Marcus Flemings and the, you know, Alante Browns and Omar Mannings. And it makes it more difficult going on the road. Once again, your condensed roster size a little bit, and you don't really know what you have outside of these practices. But do you guys think there's a way that Nebraska can use this in sort of a motivational sense, or I'm just trying to figure out how they can kind of spin this to their team going forward, because this is now the second time, third, I don't know what we want to call it, where you think you're moving forward with football and then you have to sit out. And it just, you know, it's like the idea of warming up the bullpen pitcher and then you never bring them in. Like, you don't want to get these guys ready to go and then they have a bye week. They're currently one of two teams in the Big Ten that's going to have a bye week. I'm trying to figure out if there's any way that you can use this as some sort of motivational advantage or what it could possibly be with this Northwestern game. And I don't know. I worry sometimes with the mentality of – it just feels like Nebraska has just been snake bit. I know I asked BC about that yesterday, but hopefully the coaching staff can keep these guys positive.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind – I don't think Nebraska should go public with – you know, that they're with a tantrum basically about it. But I do think there is some worth to it being a unifying thing for your team that, like, look, it feels like the deck keeps getting kind of stacked against you here. Let's rally together and let's get our payback by playing well on the field. And I think that only goes so far. I know I used to talk to coaches about those motivational things, and they would sometimes say, yeah, that's all good, well and good until, like, a play into the game, you know, and you get smacked in the mouth, and then it's just football. But that said, there is something to be said for Nebraska being, I think, a unified base as they go into the rest of this season with a chip on its shoulder and seeing what that gets for you.
I also wonder, too, if the message from the coaching staff changes a little bit, too, of – you know, look, like, you were expecting that you were going to play Wisconsin. You know, that didn't happen. I think, it, you know, they kind of saw that, you know, things can change quickly right now. I mean, Tuesday, up until, you know, early afternoon, they were feeling pretty good. And then, you know, things kind of change, and then all of a sudden you have no game. So, you know, I think the message probably becomes, look, you aren't guaranteed games this year. You need to be ready to play when you are able to get a game. And maybe that kind of focuses you a little bit. I think, too, you know, with the resetting a little bit, like I said, I mean, Wisconsin, even though, you know, that they are probably going to be able to play games, they're going to be severely limited. And I still would have said that they would have been my pick to win the West. That I think that's a little bit more in doubt. I think we saw the first week in the Big Ten season that, you know, things are a little bit more wide open in the West than they have been. So I think you preach the focus and discipline and that kind of thing and try to take advantages of the opportunity when you actually have them.
All right, we got a little bit of breaking news here. There you go. For the first time this week, Nebraska has a statement on everything that has gone down with Wisconsin. This is what they posted to Twitter on their Nebraska Huskers account today, a joint statement with Chancellor Ronnie Green and Athletic Director Bill Moose.
Can I get free Runza with this?
This isn't a poll. So you
didn't get free Runza. Oh, boy.
Throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, the safety and well-being of our Nebraska student-athletes has been our top priority, and we know Wisconsin is operating with the same guiding principle. We wish all of those impacted in the Wisconsin program a quick and full recovery from the virus. With the cancellation of the game against Wisconsin, we did explore the possibility of securing a non-conference game for Saturday. The discussions we had were with teams that had already implemented stricter testing protocols than those mandated by the Big Ten Conference. Those details were non-negotiable if we were to bring a non-conference opponent to Lincoln. At Nebraska, we will always make decisions based on what is best for our student-athletes and to provide them with the best possible experience during their college careers. To this point, these young men in our program have worked hard to prepare for the football season and have made the necessary sacrifices in order to play in this unusual environment. With an already shortened season, we owed it to our student-athletes to explore any possible option to play a game this week. They go on to say that they felt like this would provide flexibility a little bit, adding a non-conference game, and that they respect the Big Ten's overall decision to not approve it. And they're going to move forward with preparations for the rest of the season, beginning with next week's game at Northwestern. Whoever makes these statements for them and the graphics could really, you know, up the font size for those of us that have to read it out.
Did you have to put your readers on?
I might have to buy readers after this.
I've noticed I've started doing that of late where I don't have reader, just my regular glasses. I'll put them down on the bridge of my nose occasionally to look at something. And I was like, no, this isn't happening. I'm like a week away from buying a bird book now.
Yeah. I mean, I felt kind of like some of the Nebraska media who stick their face really far in on the camera during the That's what it felt like when I was trying to read that thing.
That statement seems all right to me. I mean, you fight for your guys, and it didn't. I think it tells us that there's not going to be a water balloon fight with the Big Ten today, probably with Nebraska and the Big Ten. So, I mean, that's the way to handle it. You try for what you, I mean, to help your guys and get that game. It doesn't happen. Say what you want to say in closed doors to your guys about it. Use it for motivation, but don't spout it publicly. And that they didn't there. So that's fine.
Yeah. I don't think anyone can have any real problem with that statement. And I don't think now is the time in which you, as you said, are going to start water balloon fights with your conference. I mean, this is all just going to be fodder for stuff and conversations later on. I look at what the Big Ten did with their initial decision to cancel the season, in no short part because of myocarditis. And now you're seeing reports like from Sports Illustrated yesterday that Barry Alvarez wants them to reevaluate their 21-day time frame because they're not seeing this myocarditis in any of the athletes thus far that have tested positive. So it feels like the Big Ten has misstepped about every step of the way, and Nebraska has looked better for it because of that. And this just strikes me as another one of those things that there's going to be other games canceled. And if you cost Ohio State critical games down the stretch and the Big Ten doesn't get a college football playoff team in, what was the point of even coming back when they did? Like, that's just sort of how I feel about it at this point.
They have boxed themselves in. They've boxed themselves in with this decision, and they did it. You hinted at it earlier. You know, they did it earlier when they had the schedule where they were going to start in September, and they had bye week flexibility then, and that would have helped out in situations like this. I'm not saying they had to start on September 5th. I think that was debatable if they needed to move it back a little bit. But I think the silly part now in hindsight is why there was such a gap if you were going to go for this season between then and when they actually started. And now you have no flexibility, which is what they bragged about in their very first announcement of their revised schedule in the summer. They kept using that word flexibility, and now we're seeing what it looks like when it doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's just I think if they could, excuse me, go back in time, they would redo a lot of those decisions. BC, what did you see from the Big Ten on Saturday? I mean, Brunts mentioned the Big Ten West looks wide open. We don't know what Wisconsin's going to have exactly going forward, but I thought Purdue looked pretty good in their win against Iowa without Rondale Moore, without Jeff Brohm. Northwestern looked really good against Maryland. Minnesota looked like a team that struggled, you know, in terms of coming back from last year. I mean, that defense was really bad on Saturday, and it could just be a case of getting a really game Michigan team that they might have found something with Joe Milton.
I thought Northwestern was the best of the teams in the West almost. And I know Maryland sucks. I mean, we saw them last November, and yeah, it's a different year. But remember, we went out there for that game, and it was just they were a terrible team. Nebraska beat them by 47, and they still look terrible. So,
good pool food, though.
Yeah. So we'll see what – I'm interested in what Northwestern does against Iowa this week and how both those teams kind of – how that shapes up. And also, I mean, that'll be a physical game for Northwestern that'll take a little something out of them. Iowa's going to hit you. So in that sense, we'll see how they come out of it health-wise. Penn State, you know, they can be had, obviously, as Indiana showed. Now, I would point out, Indiana was out yarded in that game about 488-211, I think, or something like that. So it wasn't like Indiana just was toe-to-toe with them in every stat for that game, but they won. And Penn State's now down a couple backs. really talented running backs. And heck, that game looks possible for Nebraska if you can build some momentum off of the Northwestern game. So I think what I took out of it as a general view was this is going to be wild. It's going to be all over the place. And people who looked at Nebraska's schedule right off the bat and said, oh, man, they can't win any of these games. I think anything can happen from this point forward. And after they got Ohio State out of the way, I think it's good that that game's just in the rearview mirror now. Now it feels like the real season sort of begins.
Do you think that and it could just be a product of being 2020, but do you think that this Big Ten West is as muddled as it's ever been? I really think any team, save for Illinois, can come out of the Big Ten West as a division champion this year. I really do. I don't think there's a great team in the mix there. And I think there's a lot of teams that are capable on any given Saturday of finding a way to win, even if the rest of the team isn't dominant. Iowa outplayed Purdue at times, but Purdue had David Bell, and they were able to get big drives out of Aiden O'Connell. We don't know exactly what Northwestern's going to be against a team with a pulse, but, you know, they get Iowa this week. And if Iowa starts 0-2 and Northwestern's 2-0, that's a lot of momentum. I really think this is as wide open as the Big Ten West has ever been.
Absolutely. Yeah, go ahead, Bruns.
As I say, I'd agree with that. I mean, it's going to come down, I think, to, you know, a big factor is going to be crossover games and who teams have to play in the East. I think, you know, it's going to be, I think, a season where you're going to have some of these results where, I mean, even in Illinois, I mean, they look terrible against Wisconsin, but they've got some decent players. I think they can probably surprise a team or two if you know, they're not paying attention. And even maybe crossover games that you thought were, you know, gimmies before. I mean, Rutgers played well against Michigan State. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's – I'm counting on Ohio State being in Indianapolis for the Big Ten championship game. I would not put any money down right now on who they'll be playing because it just seems like a lot of these teams are so even. It's going to really kind of come down to kind of the finer point things of you know, turnovers and who can make those four or five big plays a game that can turn things.
Was there a player that you guys saw, not from Nebraska or Ohio State, but elsewhere in the conference that really impressed you this week? I mean, whether it was Graham Mertz or Joe Milton or whoever, anybody jump out to you that looks like a new name to know in the Big Ten?
Mertz, it's hard to say you weren't impressed by him. And it's a shame that we didn't get to see Nebraska go against Mertz, obviously, and what would have happened there. And if he could have backed that up, but when he comes back is going to be a really interesting part of the conversation. This is not a new name, but David Bell, I think sometimes for just a general passerby fan isn't as known because they always hear about Rondale Moore, and David Bell is just an absolute freak at Purdue, and Iowa didn't have an answer for him. I think he had double digit catches, 3 touchdowns. He did that to Iowa last year too. So regardless of what Rondale's status is throughout this year, which seems to be hazy in itself, when Nebraska does see Purdue, David Bell is going to be a very tricky matchup.
And that's the other part of that too. I mean, it seems like the stuff with Rondale Moore is going to go on for a little while. Like, you know, is he going to play? Isn't he? Bell was great in that game. And I have to say, I thought the defense played better than maybe what I was expecting in their first game under Bob Diaco. But And going back to, you know, the start of the original season, I mean, Purdue was kind of like that sexy pick to be a surprise team in the West. So it's not like it's, you know, coming out of nowhere.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely fair. I picked Iowa. That obviously didn't get off to a great start. So, once again, the Mike Schaefer prediction is not probably not going to come to fruition there. Though I thought they looked okay. And Spencer Petras, I think, is going to be a fine replacement for Nate Stanley. Any final thoughts? I do want to say we won't have a hype cast as there won't be a game against either Wisconsin or Tennessee. Would have loved to have had a hype cast with the Mocs, But we won't be able to do that this week. So this will be your last podcast until next week. Do you guys have any final thoughts?
People will scoff at the idea, but Nebraska, if they could have a great couple of weeks and surprise some people, what would be really interesting is a conversation if Nebraska, because we're talking about the West being so wide open, if they put themselves in that mix and you have this game cancellation sitting out there that was declared a no contest, that will be, as you know, a conversation that sparks a lot of emotions about how that situation should be handled if it factored into like tiebreakers or things of that nature. So that could be a Nebraska. You talk about motivating or rallying cries, making that thing be a conversation would be another soap opera for us to talk about around here.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything from you, Brunts?
I got nothing.
Brunts has nothing. Maybe next week we'll have something. We will be back. Husker 24/7 will have plenty of content this week. We'll dream up a few items. Maybe we'll get BC to write about another game that happened a few years ago. He's been doing that during the off season thus far. The off season that ended but then started again, is that fair? We're in a 1 week mm-hmm. off season.
Yep.
So, you know, the biggest improvements you make are between weeks 1 and 3. So there's that.
That's what they say.
There is that. All right. Well, we'll try to improve on the quality of our content next week on the Husker 24/7 podcast.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents.
Hands where we can see them.
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it all on fire.
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violent Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10/9 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.